Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from BlackRock Silver, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol BRC and on the OTCQX under the symbol BKRRF. I am chatting with the CEO, Andrew Pollard. Now, Andrew, it's been over a year since I had you back on the show, and that's my bad because this company has really taken off kind of in the middle to tail end of summer from last year, a lot on the back of a, let's call it a massive discovery hole at the company's Tonopah project in Nevada. Now, that hole was released the very tail end of July 2020. Since that time, the company has done a lot of work, raised a lot of money, and drilled a lot of meters. Take us through, first and foremost, that discovery hole on the Tonopah project and what the company has done in the corresponding about 16 months, please.
Yeah, well, it's great to be back here. The last time I was on was probably the week after we just started drilling the project. And, you know, at that point, hopes were very, very high. And, you know, the basis of hole one came back, and it turns out we should have scaled our expectations even higher because our first drill hole into our property hit about 30 meters of a kilogram per ton silver equivalent in one zone, in addition to two other 3 meter zones, one of which was up to 3.6 kilos silver equivalent. So that our first drill hole into our property was the single best drill hole in all of Nevada in 2020. And since that point, we've now become easily the most active silver exploration story in North America and by a country mile. Between June and between June 15th of last year and where we are today, we've now completed something in the order of 100,000 meters of drilling. And we've gone from first drill holes ever into our property to we're planning to deliver a maiden resource estimate on just one of our discovery zones by Q1 of next year, early Q1 of next year. So yeah, you know, it's been, you know, I'm thinking the week that we would have been on with you, we would have, been trading somewhere in the 20 cent range. I know I picked up some shares at the end of June last year, around 22, 23 cents, fast forward to the end of July, we hit $1.60, on after that discovery hole, added well over $100 million to our market cap, in the span of a few days. And, you know, we had Eric Sprott calling us the day after, giving us some money, and that allowed us to scale up. And really since then, we've just been going pedal to the metal. We've got, you know, like what we've done is we've now hit 10 different mineralized veins, the smallest of which, ranges from 425 meters in strike, the largest of which is 1.5 kilometers in strike. And the best part is pretty much all of those are still open. The only ones that aren't open are the ones that go directly to our eastern property boundary. And that's where we're directly adjacent to a company called Suma Silver. And Suma Silver has taken the vein that we've been hitting there, and they've added about 300 meters of mineralized strike on their end. And they've been hitting some plus kilogram per ton silver equivalent zones on their side too. So what we've done is this consolidation of the Tonopah Silver District, and this is a Nevada story, mind you. You know, this was a very active district this time 100 years ago, but it's been sitting in purgatory, hiding in plain sight ever since. We've consolidated, put together the entire western half of this district. Our first drill holes put a lot of life back into this district. Suma Silver, they started drilling the same week that we did. They've been hitting it out of the park too. What we've done is we're pretty much adding chapters to the history books for what is already the second largest historic silver district in Nevada, second only to the Comstock Lode. But we're showing between us and Suma that this thing could be much, much bigger. This could be the number one silver district in the silver state of Nevada. And the best part is we're on high private land. These are patented claims with a highway going cutting right across the property. So almost too good to be true. A true hiding in plain sight story, I guess, but it's coming together really well.
So through all that drilling, I'll post a link to the company's news section, but you can just go through the headline numbers and see multi-kilogram silver per ton over some decent widths too, the whole way up to, let's say, almost 5 meters. And again, those are high-grade silver equivalent results. Take us through what you guys have discovered. How many veins have you discovered, and how many are going to be included in this upcoming resource in Q1 next year?
Yeah, so we've got two really highly active areas of our property, and both of these represented historic past producing operating mines. In fact, these are the last two operating mines in the district when precious metals tanked in the mid 1920s, going into the Great Depression. Silver prices were pegged at about $1 an ounce up until 1923, at which point it became unpegged, and they fell to 35 cents an ounce by 1930. And these are large operating mining companies back then, and they took out a significant amount of debt to fund development work and operations. And when metals prices tanked, they went belly up. We're the first group to go back in since these claims were picked up out of Chapter 11 in 1930. They'd been held by one family pretty much ever since, and we're the first group to go back in. And we were just doing proof of concept drilling, and our first target called it was called the Victor Vein, the Victor Mine. This was the thickest vein historically in the district. Where we had records that said where they stopped producing, the vein was going to be about 24 meters thick. So when we were setting up to drill hole number one, we were telling the market, if we hit this thing, it's going to be 24 meters thick. And no one really believed us. They thought we were, just pulling that out of thin air. And, we're saying that to promote. Well, our first drill hole hit 29 meters. And since then, I mean, as I said, that proof of concept drilling was we just aimed the drills about 20 or 30 meters beyond where they stopped producing. Obviously, we hit that thick zone. We've since hit about 500 meters there of strike all the way to our property boundary, in addition to hitting multiple new veins that the historic miners didn't even know about at the time. Now, those veins aren't even going to be included in a resource estimate. So the thickest and some of the highest grade hits we've been drilling on a property aren't even included in a resource estimate. Our resource estimate is going to be focused on this another very active area called the DPB mine. And the DPB mine was a series, a vein corridor of about four veins that the historic miners were mining in the 1920s. In fact, they did a substantial amount of development work on some of these veins, but never actually got around to mining, extracting that ore because the company had gone belly up by that point due to low metals prices. So we had some really good targets there. We've now hit. We knew about four of the veins that they were mining historically. We've now hit six veins in that area. And this area is the big kahuna for us. One of those veins there is called the Merton vein, and that's now up to 1.5 kilometers in strike. We're averaging about 3 meters thickness just on this one vein alone. And I mean, we're seeing some eye-watering veins there. And guess what? We've got three others in this zone and six others in that Victor part. Sorry, five others in the DPB zone and four others in the Victor zone as well. So this is we're showing not only significant grades, and these grades, they're just silver and gold that we're reporting. I mean, there's lots of silver primary companies out there, but most of the time they've got three or four different commodities baked into their silver equivalents. With us, it's just silver and gold. And it's about 100-to-1 silver to gold ratio. So this is a silver primary precious metals district in the heart of Nevada. Our last set of infill results that we just announced last week were some of our best results yet. We hit over 5 kilos silver equivalent. In that, we had 20 grams gold and nearly 3 kilograms pure silver over about a meter within a broader zone of 4 meters of 2 kilos silver equivalent. So, yeah, absolutely phenomenal stuff. And it was enough to get First Majestic involved in our story earlier this summer by taking a position.
So just to summarize here, Andrew, you guys still have a lot of exploration and a lot of resource definition, it sounds like, over kilometers of strike. But what will, in terms of size, scale, strike length, be included in that resource estimate then?
Yeah, so what we're targeting, and we've been picking up some analyst coverage in the last month or two, because now we've got a critical mass of results out, both from our step out holes and our infill holes. The consensus seems to be we're going to be delivering something in the order of 4.5 to 6 million tons. And based on what we're averaging just in the DPB zone, of which the resource is going to cover, that's going to be about, anywhere between, say, 450 to 600 grams per ton silver equivalent. So, you know, you look at other silver stories out there that have, you know, that are a little bit ahead of us, like Silvercrest, for example, a very similar story to what we have in the sense that they consolidated a historic district in Mexico. They drilled it out. They put out a maiden resource 3 or 4 years ago and have since taken it all the way up to, you know, nearly production. Their maiden resource was 60 million ounces silver equivalent. We're thinking we're going to, we've got a very, very high likelihood of beating what Silvercrest put out, a couple of years ago. And guess what? We're not Mexico. This is halfway between Las Vegas and Reno. The highway that connects both of those cities goes right across our property, and we're walking distance to, the town of Tonopah right next door. So in terms of infrastructure, ounces in the ground, rule of law, all of that, we think that, we're going to get a higher valuation than pretty much any other company out there, just given the jurisdictional advantage we have.
So what work's coming then? I understand that the resource estimate's coming out Q1, but with all these exploration targets and still following up on some of these recent drill results, what can investors expect in terms of, let's say, blue sky here?
Yeah, well, you know, the most pressing blue sky is going to be, we've got 24 completed drill holes at the lab pending assay. Now, what's interesting about that is 15 of those are from the infill program, and those are going to, you know, continue to form the basis of the resource. But we've got 9 step out holes done on this area, too. And some of those step outs are up to 500 meters. For example, on that Merton vein I was telling you about, yeah, we've got a 500 meter step out, which is going to be testing the up dip portion of this vein, which if we hit there, I mean, my goodness, that's going to build in significant upside there. We've also just staked about 20 square kilometers of BLM claims directly adjacent to our property, to the north and to the northeast of our property boundary. And that's a brand new blue sky targets. These have never before been drilled. And the reason we stake those is, you know, we're now the district experts in terms of mineralization here. I mean, we've drilled more meters than anyone living or dead on this property and in this district. And our knowledge has led us to understand some very important structural features. One structural feature is the margin of a caldera system that we've been able to track. And the caldera system, which is, you know, the blow off top of a historic volcano, we seem to be tracking all of these veins. The veins in our area at DPB, for example, seem to follow the margin of the caldera. And the caldera starts wrapping around to the north. Our Merton vein, in fact, seems to be following it up, sort of wrapping around. It, you know, goes from east-west to, say, north-northwest trending. We've now got a very, very high priority target there called the Pittsburgh Monarch Fault Extension, where we're going to be targeting this big fault structure that cuts across our property, and we're going to follow it all the way up where it jets out of this caldera margin north of us. And we think there's a very, very high likelihood that there's going to be some thick, high-grade veins right at that intersection where the margin of the caldera meets this fault-like structure. Another structure that we found is through gravity and some geophysics we've done, and it's a section that we call the east-west pediment target. Now, it's completely undercover. So the old-time miners who were, you know, flocking this area back in the gold rush days after the initial discovery, they would have never known about it because these are undercover, whereas the Tonopah discovery, those were made by big outcropping veins and, you know, there were ledges and all of that. So they had a lot of surface stuff. But we've got a big, strong magnetic zone that we've that we see has the exact same signature to the Tonopah Silver District. And that's along the northern edge of that same caldera margin. It's similar in size and sort of signatures to the Tonopah Silver District that we now, you know, control half of. And that's completely undrilled. So we're going to be lighting up those two different targets, hopefully in Q1, while we wait for the resource estimate to come out.
Okay, so then a lot of drilling then and testing out even some of these newer targets after that staking. How much money does the company have to move forward with all of these plans?
Yeah, well, we raised $12 million in the last 12 months, we've raised $32 million. In June of this year, we did a $12 million financing, and that financing is taking us through this resource definition program, which is now pretty much done. We're sending some of the core rigs home. We cut one of them just a week or two ago. We're sending another one back home after this week. And that's going to cap it. That's pretty much caps off our entire resource definition program. And then the rest of the program, what we're doing right now is we'll have a couple $1 million left over that should allow us to refine the targets up at these new up on this new Tonopah North property is what we call it, to do some RC drilling in January, and also continue on step out and expansion holes in the interim, you know, just to finish out the year. So we're going to keep a couple rigs busy because we don't want to lose them. Nevada, it's, you know, once you drop rigs, you have to go to the very back of the line again. So we're gonna be, you know, we already are, you know, the most active silver exploration story in North America, and we don't see us taking our foot that much off the gas pedal in the interim while we wait for this resource to bake in.
Okay, so news, it sounds like, is going to be pretty steady out of the company. This is a good summary here, Andrew, of just all that's gone on within the company. But at the tail end here, I want you to summarize. What do investors need to be most focused on in terms of key catalysts and what you're most excited about moving into next year?
Well, listen, the single biggest catalyst we have to look forward to effectively since we hit on hole one is going to be this resource estimate coming out in, you know, either January, February-ish. We expect that's going to be the mother of all re-rates for us, because all of a sudden it allows for institutions and corporates to actually put evaluation on us, see the ounces in the ground, look at the blue sky potential that, you know, isn't even baked into that, you know, but, you know, between our Victor target, the expansions, the step outs that we're hitting on DPB, for example. And we think that's going to be, you know, a very, very big catalyst. Because once again, you know, there's lots of other silver companies putting out some fantastic drill results, getting a lot of attention. You know, look at Mexico, there's some Argentinian stories going well. But those companies aren't going to command an M&A premium because all of the silver primary companies are trying to get out of those jurisdictions. That's why First Majestic, you know, took a slice in us. It's because we're not in Mexico. It's because we're not in Peru. It's because we're not in Argentina or Brazil or Bolivia. We're in Vegas, right? So we expect this resource is really going to put us in play, put a huge target on our back. And leading up to that, we're going to have, you know, as I said, we've got three drills churning at the project right now. We've got 24 drill holes pending between step out holes and infill holes. And we've got some compelling blue sky targets. So, you know, if we can make a new discovery while waiting for this resource, then, you know, it's blue skies ahead. But we've got a great setup now. I mean, you know, this time last year, we were both a profit taking candidate and a tax loss candidate. Because of course the market is going out, but I can tell you what, we're not a tax loss candidate this year. We're trading well above, all of our financings that we've done the last 12 months. And I think all of the institutions that are in us now are very, very happy, and they see the light at the end of the tunnel, which is this resource. So, I think this is a good time. You know, our stock's been holding, trading sort of well, despite the market selling off all summer. You know, most companies are at their 52-week lows. We're trading, you know, right in that mid-range. So, yeah, I think we've got nothing but catalysts and clear skies ahead, and it's not going to take much to move the needle here.
All right. Andrew, really appreciate the update. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. I'll get Andrew to address those, and we'll also follow up as we get some more news on drill results as well as that upcoming resource estimate. Andrew, thanks as always for your time, buddy. Keep in touch on the back of some more news, please.
Thank you. Cheers.